Well, now a book release that's eerily timely. Author Karen Russell's 2011 novel, Swamplandia, centered around an alligator wrestling theme park. Her short story, St. Lucy's Home for Girls Raised by Wolves, is about feral girls. Vampires in the Lemon Grove, well, vampires. But her novella, Sleep Donation, tells the story of a terrible pandemic of fatal insomnia, a horrible slow death by sleep deprivation. People are being tested to see if they have the antidote, dreams that can be harvested by the company Slumber Corps to help others sleep. So there are testing sites, overwhelmed hospitals, eerie comparisons to today, except Karen Russell wrote this in 2014. At that time, no less than Stephen King said it had a dreamlike beauty and that parts of it gave me nightmares, and I'm case hardened. High praise from that horror writer. But after only 8 months, the online publisher closed. Now Sleep Donation is finally out in a new paperback version, and Karen Russell is here. How weird has it been to watch this coronavirus pandemic after you wrote about one of insomnia?
Very weird timing, Robin. And to be honest, I wish that there were not so many parallels. You know, I think I was imagining a different world, you know, when we were discussing this reissue. It's been such a vertiginous season, I think, for all of us that it's sort of hard to parse.
And it's so interesting because yours is all about dreams. And people have been reporting more vivid dreams. And you added some content at the end of this novella. It purports to be an alert from this company, Slumber Corps, active nightmare outbreaks in the U.S. It shows the map where the outbreaks are. I mean, it looks just like a CNN map of COVID-19. Some of the strains of dreams include wallpaper made of your poor report cards, surgeons snipping at the overgrown vines in your belly. Did you take any of this added material from COVID-19 dreams?
No, you know, I didn't. I was really excited to have something that felt sort of like a whimsical riff on those CDC brochures. You know, it seemed funnier, I think, to me a year ago. Now we're living through such an unremittingly grim season. But I do sort of think there's a secondary epidemic of nightmares going around. I think we are all having these very vivid dreams. And at the time, I was working with these amazing Italian artists. We were going to come up with a nightmare contagion map with these sleep quarantine stations. You know, if you have a bad dream that recurs twice in a 72-hour period, you should report to your doctor and things like this. And so it was very strange when suddenly our emails sort of morphed overnight and they were saying, you know, we can't work on this right now. We're under lockdown ourselves. And suddenly we were all going to the CDC website for information instead of inspiration. And so it's been a very strange experience.
Where did this inspiration come from? The New York Times says the kernel was Gabriel Garcia Marquez's 100 Years of Solitude.
You know, I'm sure that insomnia plague in Macondo imprinted deeply on me. It's so beautiful if people haven't read it. But I was also thinking about Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal, because at some point I thought this was going to be a satirical take on the ravages of our economy. And there's a little baby in this story, Baby A. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court rules that babies and children can give donations of sleep to these, you know, sleep-starved Americans. And it just didn't seem a bridge too far to imagine a scenario like that. I feel like it sort of literalizes something that's already happening in our economy to just steal the literal dreams of children.
Well, here's how you describe the horrors when it becomes fatal. Hundreds of our neighbors, friends, coworkers, and teachers are new insomniacs. You could substitute, you know, have COVID-19. They file for dream bankruptcy, appeal for Slumber Corps aid, that's the company, wait to be approved for a sleep donor. It's a special kind of homelessness, says our mayor, to be evicted from your dreams. So you have people being evicted, except not from their homes, from their dreams. Really quite something how closely connected it is. You have a main character, Trish, who describes, by the way, the donated dreams. She works for the company that takes the donation. She describes them as having a clay odor. Kind of felt to me, it's almost like a swampy thing that happens when dreams
start. I was picturing something like that. Like if you've ever smelled like a lake at night, or you know, that, you know, lily pad odor, sort of a mineral clay smell.
But she starts to have these ethical questions. She's been using the story of her sister who died to kind of lure dream donors in. She has questions about that, questions about using the baby. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the baby is in the family called Harkonnen. Our ace producer here wants to know, is that a reference to the big science fiction novel Dune?
It is. this was sort of my first attempt to write science fiction. You know, I'm, you know, a near future dystopia. And I think Dune was a book that was so seminal for me. So that's a little wink to the other fantasy science fiction readers out there. I was really interested in those questions about, is it possible to give a gift? You know, what are the conditions where a gift is freely given? And what is the line between a gift and something that's coerced? And for this woman in particular, I think it's interesting to come back to it, you know, in the emergency lighting of 2020, when our faith in institutions, you know, is so eroded. And she is working for a nonprofit. And the implication is that it may be very soon that sleep becomes a commodity. Her great fear is that perhaps we're going to see new global markets emerging, you know, created by these crises, and that this is just going to accelerate a kind of inequality where there's going to be, a nation of haves and have-nots. Only the have will be people who can rest and dream, you know, and people who are just sort of wandering the night. That doesn't seem so far off to me than the world we're really living in right now.
Well, there's a third category, people who are petrified to fall asleep, because there's another storyline here, a donor who didn't disclose, let's just say, that they shouldn't donate. They didn't check off that they have horrible nightmares, and then their nightmares infected all the people who received the donation. So now you have people who can't sleep, the insomniacs, who are dying, and you have people trying to avoid these horrific dreams. You say dystopian, it's a pretty horrible world.
It's a pretty horrible world, and I feel like I really ran with that, the what if of this kind of goofy premise, into a darker landscape than I had maybe anticipated at the beginning. But I will say, you know, there are these night worlds that start to kind of crop up where people, some of them are elective insomniacs, they're infected with this nightmare that's so terrible that they give up sleep. And then some people, you know, they are insomniacs, and somehow they all converge in these, on the periphery of cities and in these night worlds that kind of hawk black market remedies. And, you know, I can only think now, you know, obviously of like hydrochloroquine or some of these other more dubious medicines that kind of snake oil salesmen are peddling for the coronavirus. But I thought of these places, certainly not as utopias, but it was those were the most fun, beautiful scenes for me to write, thinking about the way that people can meet in weakness, you know, and the kind of communities that can form and the solidarity that can come when you're really right on the edge. You know, that is a powerful bond, I think, between people sometimes. If you share a nightmare in the form of an illness.
Yeah. And of course, now we have long haulers, you know, people still suffering with COVID-19. Karen Russell's book, which she wrote 6 years ago, Sleep Donation, is out in paperback. Karen, thank you so much. And sweet dreams.
Oh, to you too. Only the sweet ones. Thank you.